Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
I know that my Redeemer liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I know eternal life He giveth, that grace and power are in His hand. I know that Jesus liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I know that life He giveth, that grace and power are in His hand.
Reading from Isaiah chapter 53, often called the Gospel of Isaiah. And certainly the gospel is given there, as well as the call to repentance for ourselves. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath brought him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. So far we read this 53rd chapter of Isaiah, the first 11 verses. Let's give thanks for it. Pray that we will have understanding of it, that we will know our need of it, and as well, that we may know by faith that our need has been met. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ. We come giving thanks in His name for all that has been given because of Him, that there is open before us the way of the gospel, the new and living way. We give thanks, Father, for the Spirit that ordered this to be written, leading Isaiah to know these things before Christ came, before he experienced that suffering, that death on the cross. We pray, Father, that we might realize that it was a prophecy fulfilled those number of years later. And we pray that we might know particularly that truth of Scripture, what thou dost tell us has transpired, and what thou dost tell us will take place. And Father, here we see not only Isaiah speaking of his death, his suffering, and thy laying our iniquities upon him, but also what he shall experience and what shall take place. And we know, Father, it will take place to the end. We think of the word of Peter, that there were mockers that would say, where is the promise of his coming? But, Father, how thou dost explain to us and to others that thou art long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We think, Father, if Christ would have come many years ago, some of us would not have been prepared. We give thanks for thy long-sufferingness, and we give thanks, Father, that others may also be gathered in before Christ returns, and we pray that that gathering might increase, that there might be a mighty ingathering, even in our day, throughout the world. We pray, Father, for other needs as well. We pray for those in sickness, injury, those in sorrow, those in weakness. We pray for our homes, the needs in them. We pray, Father, for the children, especially in the troubled homes. We pray for our schools, our workplace. We pray for our governments. We pray, Father, for the war-torn lands and those suffering, the homeless, the hungry, in there, the fearful, the injured, all these calamities that come from the lie of the war that is taking place. We pray it might be recognized as a lie. We ask, Father, that thou wilt bring the truth, the gospel, that there might be, as the message of Christ's birth was given, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, all through him. Amen. Looking again at this 53rd chapter, we looked at it some time ago, and we saw after that some of the other words of Isaiah written concerning Christ. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. We saw the description of his names, how his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Here we have the word will perform this. In the last verses that we read from this 53rd chapter, verses 10 and 11, we read the word shall. One time shalt, and a number of times shall. It will happen. It will take place. Listen again. He shall see his seed, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. We have the word shalt once, and we have the word shall those six times in those two verses. Shall take place. It will. I think the words of Christ, as he spoke them when he was here on earth, recorded by John in John chapter 6, verse 37, where Christ gives those words, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Everyone that God has planned in eternity will give in time, and they shall come to Christ. He says, shall come to me. Not only other things that God will do and give, but shall come, as he said, to me. Come to the Savior. A song says, come to the Savior, make no delay. Remember, we used to sing that when I was a child. Over and over, the scripture tells us to come. Think of a song that we often sing when I go to the rest home, the little brown church in the Vale. Come, 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 come. The call is there. In the last chapter of the book of Revelation, which is also the last chapter of the Bible, we read that word also. Different times, come, come, come. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. But do we know that there is a mighty power to make us come? We will not come. The Lord Jesus said, while here on earth, you will not come to me, that you might have life. He said, if another come in his own name, him you will receive. And that has taken place with the different so-called prophets through history. They will come to them. Many follow these ways, evil ways that bring evil upon themselves and others. But Christ is the Prince of Peace. And as we read from that ninth chapter of his kingdom, there is no end. We might say, well, there's not peace on earth, is there? No, there's not. But there would be if everyone believed the Word of God as we should. Not part way, but as we should, fully, then we would be one. One with God, one with each other. If that power was manifest as it could be and as it was in the day of Pentecost, probably one of the days that this was manifest at least as much or more than any other time. Many were made one. Many were humbled. Many were pricked. Many were made to receive the word gladly. Before that, the apostles, who at times had strife among themselves, were made one after the ascension of Christ, and we find them described as being in one accord, in one place, in prayer and supplication. And if this message given by Isaiah is truly applied to us, if those shells are for us in fullness, then we can say with Paul, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And everyone that has that with God in the scriptural way, in the way through Christ, will have peace with others who have the same. Only that way. And we give thanks, it can be that way. I think of the song that was sung, the words evidently taken from the words of Job, who suffered much. And we can read it in the book of Job. But in the middle of that book, Job gave that wonderful exclamation, I know that my Redeemer liveth and shall stand on the earth in the latter day. One part of this song struck me. That last part of the first verse, that grace and power are in his hand. Grace, undeserved, unearned blessing, paid for by himself, applied to us because of that payment, because of the blood shed, and then applied with power, power that no one can resist, that will make this effectual, as well as what he said, as we quoted from John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come. And then we're safe. He said along with it, him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Some people want to use that as if that's our responsibility to come. And we do have a responsibility to come at his call, but none heed it without that call being made, a call of power, a call, as he said here, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand, he shall see the travail of his soul. He travailed at Gethsemane. He travailed before that when he came into Jerusalem on what is called Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry. He came to Jerusalem and he wept over it. He said they did not know the day of their visitation. They did not know the blessing of the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies and all what Isaiah said. They did not know him as the suffering servant, but also the Redeemer. We looked at the words of Isaiah concerning Christ earlier in this prophecy. Look also some other scriptures. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. One God, one with his Redeemer, called the Lord of hosts. When we read that phrase throughout Isaiah and other prophets, the Lord of hosts, we probably just think the Lord of many. And that's true. But here it says, his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. That's evidently the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God's Redeemer. He is the sinner's Redeemer. He is the mediator between the holy God and the terrible sinner. Redeemer, created in God's image, lost it in Adam, with Adam. We have to be redeemed, bought back by the second Adam. And here he is. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer. And. Yes, there is a plurality in the Godhead. Father and Son. This Redeemer is the Son of God, even though some would absolutely deny it and declare those who believe it to be accursed. I'm not cursed because he's the Son of God. I'm blessed. Blessed in believing it. And I'd rather die right now than deny it. I'll be cursed without him, but never because I say Jesus Christ is the Son of God, one with him in creation, one with him in all things. And here, not only do we have it here in this 44th chapter, but we have it again in the 47th chapter. Verse 4, as for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Yes, Job could say, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. I know eternal life he giveth, and grace and power are in his hand. I think of one evangelist who stated over the radio, and I saw it in print as well, the terrible words, God is powerless unless you let him. What a lie. And if you think it, you're a liar. And all liars go to the lake of fire. You had better repent. Because God is not powerless. You are. You are the powerless one. You cannot deliver yourself from Satan. You cannot deliver yourself from your sin. But God's Redeemer can. He shall see the travail of his soul. And there's a terrible doctrine that wants to make man God and God less than man. Again, those words, God is powerless unless you let him. The worst thing I ever heard out of a preacher's mouth. Because this dishonors God so terribly. It's as bad as what Peter said, I know not the man. Such a preacher is saying, I don't know who the true God is. Well, I only know a powerless one. God said by the pen of the psalmist, Psalm 50, thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as thyself. We don't think right. God says over and over, there is none that understandeth. What are you going to do without understanding? Christ had to rebuke the apostles. Are you yet without understanding? And then those wonderful words on the day of resurrection. He opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. If they would have understood the scriptures, they would have known when Christ went to the cross that what Isaiah wrote was being fulfilled before their eyes, but they didn't know it. They were just fearful, hiding in a room, locked doors. Didn't even believe it when the Lord Jesus came through those locked doors. He had to ask for food. Show him his hands, his feet. Unbelief. 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 As George Whitefield said, we have to know our original sin. We have to know our actual sin. And we have to know our unbelief. And Christ spoke of that when he said that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment of sin because they believe not on me. Have you had that first work of the Holy Spirit that you learned that you did not believe in the Christ of the Bible? I had to learn it. What is Isaiah saying? And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. What will that shall do but damn us? Listen again. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. What a terrible thing to be left in that state. Dead in sin. In sin and not know it, not believe it. That's why Paul could write to the church at Ephesus, "You who were dead in trespasses and sins, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others." Democrats and Republicans, both children of wrath. Makes no difference. Communist, fascist, any ism, all children of wrath. All religions outside of Christ, children of wrath. One mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Yes, he's called a man and he became a man. He took on him the form of a man. He who thought it not robbery to be equal with God humbled himself and took on him the form of a man. Or as Paul says to the Galatians, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them who are under the law. Yes, to redeem them. My Redeemer liveth. Liveth. What other prophet liveth? Job's prophet lives. Job's Redeemer lives. He was resurrected. I heard one man talk about someone that said, "Don't believe in a God that would kill his son." He did allow his son to be killed. But he knew also that he was going to raise him from the dead. Job knew it. David knew it. Peter could say on the day of Pentecost that David, being a prophet, spoke of his resurrection. It's there. His birth, his life, his death, his resurrection. Think of the chorus. I know that Jesus liveth. And on the earth again shall stand. I know that life he giveth, and that grace and power are in his hand. And what a blessing when that power comes from his hand to our heart. Has that taken place? Would you?
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423, or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.